So we are now on section number 3, our informal interviews. The first one scheduled for 11:30 is 2455 in regards to Leslie Ash, DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the matter of the informal interview of Dr. Leslie Ash in case number 2455. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it in ARS 322234. Dr. Ash and Mr. Stoll, please come forward and introduce yourself for the record.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Leslie Ash.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Ash.
Great, thank you. Dr. Ash, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials other than what we submitted shortly after the committee's review, the statement of Rebecca Helsinski and the treatment plan.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give us a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Wright, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, thank you. On September 25th, 2023, Kobe, a 3.5-year-old male German Shepherd Malinois mix, was presented to respondent on emergency for concerns of bloat or GUV. Respondent evaluated the dog and deemed the patient stable with no evidence of GV at that time. Based on the evaluation, respondent felt the dog could wait through the shift change to be safe. Respondent stated that complainant was offered a treatment plan for radiographs with radiologist consultation, which was declined. Complainant was considering taking the dog to the primary care veterinarian when they opened, but elected to wait until the dog had an ultrasound performed. Respondent's associate, Dr. Hugh, evaluated the dog, performed diagnostics, and determined the dog had GUV. Emergency surgery was recommended. Complainant elected to take the dog to Dove Valley for surgery. When the dog's abdomen was open, the stomach was non-viable. Therefore, the dog was humanely euthanized.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Ash, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Dr. Ash, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I have a brief statement. I understand when you reviewed the investigative committee's unanimous recommendation that this complaint be dismissed with no violation, you moved the case to an informal interview because you had a question as to whether the owner had been offered x-rays during this very brief period of time when Dr. Ash was involved in this case. Shortly after your review, we not only submitted a copy of the treatment plan that was given to the owner at Dr. Ash's direction, but we also submitted a statement from the veterinary technician who worked with Dr. Ash on creating the treatment plan and who actually gave a copy of the plan to the owner. As you can see, the treatment plan included emergency services, radiographs, and a stat radiograph interpretation. According to the testimony of the technician, Rebecca Helsinski, she triaged Kobe at 6:30 a.m. Despite the fact that Dr. Ash's shift was over at 7 o'clock, 30 minutes later, she assessed Kobe for herself and concluded that he was stable. She then recommended that the dog remain for a more thorough exam, and given the owner's concern over a possible GDV, Dr. Ash, along with Ms. Helsinski, created the treatment plan that you now have, and that treatment plan included radiographs. According to Ms. Helsinski in her statement, she handed the owner the treatment plan at 6:40 a.m. and told her that they could take the x-rays immediately and have them submitted for a staff review by 7 o'clock a.m. In response, the owner expressed concerns about costs, elected to call her regular veterinarian when they opened at 7 o'clock a.m. to see if they could see the dog and do the x-rays there. So the x-rays were in fact offered and declined during that 30-minute period of time that Dr. Ash was involved in this case. Having addressed your concern about the offer of radiographs, we request that you accept the committee's original recommendation and dismiss this complaint with no violation. Thank you.
Okay.
By the way, Dr. Ash is available if you have any questions for them.
Okay. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Ash.
So I'll start. I just had a couple questions. Thank you for submitting the information on the x-rays. That does clear that up a little bit. My question is more in relation to the schedule at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So you had stated that you tend to not see any stable triage patients after about 6:15-ish, 6:30 or so. Is that correct?
Depends on how many inpatients I have.
Yeah.
So if I have, you know, one or two inpatients, then, you know, I'll clearly continue to see or start triages until shift change, mm-hmm. and then I'll transfer any triages that I had started but not completed to the incoming doctor. That night, I had 8 patients, you know, one of which was having cluster seizures all night, overnight, that ended up having distemper. And so I was still managing multiple cases, and I just felt that this patient was stable enough to let me finish with my inpatients who I deemed more critical.
Okay. And let's say the dog was found to be non-critical at that point,
sure.
GDB, because they can go really quick.
Sure.
Would you take care of that, or is there another doctor on staff at that time to take care of it?
No, so what would have happened, I mean, if had this dog presented a clear GDB, mm-hmm. then we would have gotten a stabilization form at this hospital that I work at. We cannot do anything until a treatment plan is signed or until stabilization is signed. And typically in a critical case, that happens very quickly, within minutes. And then I would have instructed my technicians to take x-rays, place an IV catheter, start drawing some initial blood work, administer pain injection, doing everything that you do in those initial, you know, 20, 30 minutes of a mm-hmm. critical case. And then when my colleagues came in at 7, I would transfer that case to them. And I would not stay on that case past 7, but I would at least start that initial stabilization period and then transfer it for my incoming colleague to take over.
Okay. So for a typical night, nothing's ever typical, of course, in an emergency.
Sure.
But you have these 8 patients that you're dealing with, let's say, mm-hmm. And an ear infection comes in.
Sure.
It's stable, it's doing totally fine, it's
sure.
6:30.
Mm-hmm.
That dog has to wait until a new doctor comes into the doors and clocks in at 7 o'clock, or is there any overlap where, I don't see anything past 6:15-ish, but this doctor catches up at that point? Or
so
is there basically
overlap
no
until
doctor
7.
Touching?
No, okay. So there's no overlap at 7. So for stable things, and again, it depends on my caseload. If
mm-hmm.
I have like 2 fully stable in-house patients, I'll keep seeing things
yeah.
until 7. It just depends on my staff capability. So can that staff, you know, do I have enough hands to
mm-hmm.
like potentially start an ear cytology or talk to the owner? Is the owner willing to let us start an ear cytology without me physically going out to talk to them? If I'm not physically available, then maybe I have nursing staff that is.
Okay. So with the estimate that was given for the x-rays and the stat fee, that what the intention was for the oncoming doctor to basically see those when they came back in? Or?
Well, we would have, a couple of options. During weekdays, we have a radiologist on staff. When they come in, it varies. Overnight, I always send them out to IDEX.
Okay.
Yeah, and so in this case, you know, had they approved that, if it was a GDV at the time and it was clear cut, then it would have been treated as such. If it was a little bit questionable in terms of whether it was a true GDV at that point, and we needed a radiologist's opinion, then we would have sent it out to IDEX staff.
Okay, and how long, because I know there are multiple levels of stat, do you know how long
sure.
the stat is? Is it the 30-minute one? Is it an hour?
No, so when you send it out to IDEX, it still does vary, so it'll typically tell you less than 2 hours for IDEX, but I mean, sometimes for a stat radiograph, it depends on how busy IDEX is, and sometimes mm-hmm. we don't get stat reads back for 4 hours, but usually at that time during the weekday, then our own in-house radiologist comes in. But I would say, like, I know how to identify a GDV, so if it was a clear-cut GDV on that initial right lateral, then we wouldn't necessarily have had to send them out,
okay.
right? So.
Okay, no, thank you. Those are my questions.
Do any other board members have questions for Dr. Ash?
The estimate that was provided was, the intent of that was, if the owner had wanted to get started right away, that was why the estimate was given.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically it was, sometimes what we will do in these cases where owners, you know, want to get started, but I'm hands-on and I can't physically talk to that owner, is that, hey, let's get started on diagnostics. These are what your concerns are. Let's get started. And yes, I will absolutely talk to you, but I'm not available to talk to you in this instance. But if you want to get started on x-rays, let's do it. And that was the intent behind the treatment plan that was offered.
Okay. That's helpful.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. You may both step back.
Thank you.
And we are now going to hear from the complainant in this matter. Ms. Anderson, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here today. I'll have you state your name for the record and then I'm going to swear you in, okay?
Okay. My name is Elaine Anderson.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. At this, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Again, thank you for being here. We know you are the complainant in this case and we have read the materials that you have submitted, but you are now free to address the board.
Okay, so first, what they said here wasn't all true. My son looked at Kobe in the morning because he was acting very strange. He was pacing. So he's been around dogs his whole life. And he did his own exam on Kobe and he said, no, this can't be bloat. And he says, maybe we need to take him to emergency. Then right after that, Kobe threw up on my bed, white and foaming, twice. He said, we're out of here, it's bloat. So we went to, first I went to First Pet because I thought they were 24 hours, but they weren't.
Okay.
So we looked up the next closest and that's how we got the vet med. So they put on his patient report four things that none of them were true. One was I declined an exam. The first thing I did when I got there was I think he has the symptoms of bloat, my concern, and he needs to be seen now. That's an exam. The second thing was an x-ray. They never mentioned an x-ray. They mentioned an ultrasound. This was after staff came out and told me he absolutely did not have bloat and he wasn't life and death. That's when I asked to speak with a doctor. She went back, she came back out. She says, again, he is not life and death, and the doctor is unavailable, and he does not have bloat. And at that point, she says, she told me that the doctor felt something in the spleen. So they wanted to do an ultrasound later when they had time. And I didn't decline that. And I didn't call my doctor at 7, I called him at 7:30, because if he didn't have bloat and he wasn't life and death, then I wanted to confer with his own vet. I made an appointment, but that appointment wasn't till 10. They also put in there that I declined a treatment plan. I don't know what treatment plan I declined, because the only other thing was the ultrasound, and I did the ultrasound. Cost was not a factor. Kobe had his own care credit card. I always kept it paid off. He was the only one that used it. He had Nationwide Insurance, major medical at $8,000. They're gonna pay at 90%. So if somebody said x-ray or ultrasound, I'm not gonna decline it because it's covered. And I'm the one that brought Kobe in. And that was my main concern because I don't know all that much about bloat or the spleen or it's just, the doctor had a right to come and talk to me, not convey it through the staff. It would have only taken her 5 minutes to address my concerns. And then she could have said, well, if you're still concerned, we can do an x-ray. And there's no way I would have declined it because again, cost was not a factor. And then another thing they put on that report is, well, they told me if I wanted, if I left and came back, I would, they would charge me another office visit. But I never left. That was another thing they put on there, that I left and came back in 20 minutes. I never left. I sat right there like I'm sitting in front of you, the main staff that takes you in there. And I waited, and I'm thinking 3 hours, I'm not exactly sure of the time. Then somebody said, we can see you now. So that's when I talked to a Dr. Howe, I guess that's how you say it. And she didn't even look at Kobe. She just went over, well, we recommend doing an ultrasound. So I did call my vet because it was getting close to 10 and I knew I wasn't going to make it. And then I agreed to do the ultrasound. Again, the cost wasn't an issue because I know Nationwide's going to cover it at 90%. If I'm concerned enough to bring Kobe in and I have the money and it's all covered, I'm not turning anything down. I would have mortgaged my house to save him if I could. And so then they set him up for the ultrasound, and they said it would be about 40 minutes. And I said, why so long? And she looked at me and she just said, well, if you go to the ER, you're gonna have to wait. And it's the same here. And I go, but I've been in here since 6:30. And I've been in here with concerns of bloat. So she said, I'm gonna give him something for his stomach, so he doesn't get sick during the ultrasound. And so then they took him back, and he actually planted his own legs. He didn't want to go with him. So I had to get my son to kind of walk a little ways with him. And then I can't remember how long I waited, maybe an hour. And I still never left. I was there. And she came, Dr. Howe came back in, and she says, well, it's GED. And I just lost it because we just used up 3 hours of his life or more, however long it took to get to that point. And I just said, how much is surgery? Can we do surgery? She says, it's between $5,000 and $7,000. And I know I don't have $7,000. I have $8,000 in major medical, and I have what's left on its care credit card, which I think was $4,000. And so she just looked at me and said, and I said, I came in here at 6:30 in the morning with concerns of bloat, and I was told he absolutely did not have bloat. She looked right at me and said, we never told you that. And that's when I got on the phone to my vet, and I was crying, and I just said, don't let him die. Do you do bloat surgery there? This was Norterra. She says, no. But she says, I'm gonna put out an email, like a blanket email, to see if anybody can do this. 15 minutes, I get a call from Deer Valley. The doctor cleared his schedule. We're waiting for you to bring him in. When I left, I did not take his patient report. I just left with him. I even had to wait a little bit to get him back, because they told me he was not going to be sedated, but when I got to Deer Valley, they said he was a little sedated. So when I got to Deer Valley, I'm just panicked, and I go, I don't have $7,000. Don't worry about it. We'll talk money later. Right now, we're getting Kobe into surgery. And so he told me a little bit of, very briefly, what was going to happen, and if he says if we caught it in time, there's 90 to 95% we can save him. And Kobe is walking himself back into surgery, and his hind legs are starting to give out, and he just turned around and looked at me like he's so scared. Like, I left him. The last thing he remembers is, I left him, and he went into surgery by himself. And they said, well, you can go home, we'll give you a call. I said, no. I don't care if I have to wait here forever. I'm gonna wait till he's out of surgery, because in my mind, I thought he was gonna make it. So I just sat there, and it only took 20 minutes or so for them to call me and say, well, unfortunately, there's too much damage, we can't save them. So then they said they were gonna bring Kobe to a room where I could spend some time with him. And the doctor carried him out in his arms, and he laid him on a blanket on a floor in a room with the IV port in him, with a tech that sat on the floor monitoring the port because they didn't finish the surgery because they knew they couldn't save him. And she had to monitor the port to make sure he didn't wake up. And he was just laying there and he was breathing, and I knew that same port was going to take his life away. But at that point, I don't want him to wake up either then. And then when I left, they gave me his patient report and the bill. And then shortly after that, the doctor called me, not the staff, the doctor. And he said, I'm not charging you for the whole surgery. I couldn't finish it, I'm only gonna charge for what we did. And he could have had his staff do that, but he did that. And I feel Kobe had a right to fight for his life, because I'm thinking, okay, when they brought him and laid him in the room, I'm thinking 5 hours before this, there was another doctor. That doctor didn't do anything to help him. And I swear, there was no mention of an x-ray. There is no good reason why I would have turned it down. Why would I go through all this? Why would I have the funding? Oh no, I don't want an x-ray. It was not mentioned, and I didn't know that an x-ray would have showed GDV right away. Right. And if they felt something in the spleen, why didn't they just do this? I don't understand why he had to have no chance to fight for his life. And then when I read the report from Deer Valley, because I don't know a lot about bloat or the parts of the dog, it mentioned that the spleen was on the opposite side. So that's when I put it together, that the stomach, the spleen, and I guess when the stomach rotated, it must have moved the spleen. But if they felt this in the beginning, why did the night shift go home and leave Kobe classified as not life and death, no emergency really, we're just gonna do an ultrasound when we get time. And why would they do that? I just don't understand why Beth would do this.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Can I ask if the board members have any questions for you now?
Sure.
That'd be okay? All right.
I have a question. Could you clarify, you just stated that you were told on, I think, more than one occasion, he does not have bloat.
Three occasions, by two different people.
Yeah, that was my next question. Can you go through that quickly,
okay,
as to who told you and in what order and when that happened?
I don't exactly know the title of the girl that brought him back to me after the exam, but she didn't, I knew she wasn't a doctor, and she didn't wear, like a tech vet wears equipment, so she didn't state her title.
But she was the technician that was helping with the exam.
Yeah,
came out to talk to you. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, they sent her back to tell me, and I said, I want to talk to a doctor. And she says, they're doing a shift change, a doctor is not available. And I said, I want to talk to a doctor. Mm-hmm. So she went back to the back, she came back out, and she says, I'll tell you again, he is not life and death, and he absolutely does not have bloat.
Absolutely.
And I asked again to talk to a doctor.
Okay. So that's one. What was two?
Huh?
What was the second time?
The second person then was like, you're sitting at the front desk. They sent that person to me. She says, hey, listen. She says, you've already been told he's not life and death, he doesn't have bloat. Okay. And if you want to talk to a doctor and you leave and you come back, we're going to charge you another office visit.
Okay, thank you. What was the third?
So one person told me twice, and one person told me once.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do any other board members have questions for the complainant?
I just want to clarify, you never received a estimate for x-rays and stat review of x-rays somewhere around that 6 o'clock hour, 6:30 when you got in?
I didn't get any papers. When I took Kobe to Deer Valley, I didn't even take his bill or his patient report. I didn't want to wait time to get, I didn't have any papers. This was all verbal, told to me, but not by a doctor. Because if a doctor had, if I had 5 minutes to talk with a doctor, I would have asked certain questions that maybe could have saved his life. But I didn't have the paper. And then after all this was over, I went back and I got the patient report and the bill. And I could see where they crossed out an office visit, because they knew I didn't leave, but yet they, I don't know how they get away with it. How they put all this stuff on there or why they would do it. But they crossed out the second office visit because they knew I didn't leave. And if all this didn't happen, and they would have just done nothing, I guess, and they asked if I wanted to talk with an office manager, and at first, when I went back, Kobe was gone. And I said, I don't know what good it's gonna do, but yes. She says, no problem. She went in the back, she came back out, they're not available. So then I look over the paperwork, but I don't see like Dr. Ash's name on there, unless I missed it, but I went back the next day. And I said, I need to know the name of the doctor that made the call on Kobe. And so somebody at the front desk, like you, they did whatever they do, and I ended up with a name. And I said, can I talk to an office manager? And, oh, no problem. She went in the back, came back out, oh, they're not available, but they'll call you.
Well, does anyone have any specific questions regarding the discussion with the office manager? Or
just quickly, so you did not get a paper saying the treatment plan, which was also diagnostics estimate?
No, it's all okay. Verbal.
It was all verbal, but did you get a verbal?
Did I what?
A verbal request to do the work.
The only verbal I got was because they felt something in the spleen, they wanted to do an ultrasound later because it wasn't an emergency, so we could do it later in the day.
Okay, so but you didn't hear anything about an initial radiograph, initial x-ray.
No, exactly, no, because it was the ultrasound. It was very specific.
Yeah.
Ultrasound.
That was my question. Thanks.
And I even money again was there, and I didn't question it. You know, just go. Let's do it just to make sure there's nothing else.
Okay. I don't think if there's no further questions. Thank you. You can go ahead and step back now.
Thank you.
Yes. Dr. Ash, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks? Questions you would like to ask?
Thank you. These emergency cases are difficult. We all know the state of emergency, veterinary medicine. I just want you to keep in mind the timeline here. This is 6:30, the owner presents. Dr. Ash testified the extensive emergencies that she was dealing with. She did not ignore this patient. Despite being swamped at the time, she went out, assessed Kobe, and deemed him to be stable. That's in the medical record. Obviously, we have he said, she said issues. In that situation, we go to the medical record to see what was there. He was deemed stable. It was not an emergency at the time. Despite that, The owner is there at 6:30, 6:40, she is presented with a treatment plan. Whether she remembers it or not, it was printed out, it was provided to you. We've also provided a statement from the technician that handed it to her. On the subject of what she was told, Rebecca says in her statement, at no time did we tell the owner that this was definitely not a GDV. We have a he said, she said situation there. Rebecca also goes on to say the owner verbally declined the radiograph so that she could contact her vet at 7 a.m. to see if the cost might be lower and to see if they were able to get him in. Despite what she says about having cost care and that costs were not an issue, there were numerous times during her statement to you where she expressed concerns over costs, because care credit is not without limitations. So costs were an issue. The one thing that is not a he said, she said, is, and the owner admitted, that she wanted to have Kobe seen by her regular veterinarian. So as of 6:40, after Dr. Ash has assessed the patient, deemed him to be stable, the owner is given the copy of the estimate. Between 6:40 and 7 o'clock, the owner has indicated, and she admitted here today, that she wanted to defer to her regular vet when they opened at 7 o'clock. So there was nothing that Dr. Ash could have done during that period of time between 6:40 and 7 o'clock because the owner, by her own admission, wanted to defer it and see if she could be seen by her regular veterinarian. Anything that happened after that is not Dr. Ash's responsibility because she's no longer there, she's no longer on duty. The case had been transferred to another veterinarian. We still fervently believe that this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. She did not ignore this patient, and the owner was given the option of, was given an estimate, and it was declined. Do you have anything to say?
I think I just want to make sure that the distinguishment is being made between my soap and Dr. Huff's soap, because I think there's been a lot of confusion listening to Mrs. Anderson's testimony in terms of what I did versus what my colleague Dr. Huff did. I palpated a prominent spleen at the time. I did not note that it was malpositioned. My records specifically say a prominent spleen, not a malpositioned right-sided prominent spleen. At the time, I did not note that. And then my records don't say that she declined an exam or declined a radiograph. Again, that is Dr. Huff's records that said that. So I think there's been a lot of confusion in terms of what I did versus what was done after I left. So I just want to make sure that's understood. And that also with regards to the treatment plan, I think being an ER doctor, you know, within, we have to make choices. And at that time, I had inpatients that were critical. Had they not been, I would have taken, you know, the 5 minutes plus to talk with Ms. Anderson. I had the all of the objective tools I had to determine whether or not this dog were stable and could wait until a colleague came in and told me that this dog was stable. There was no evidence of distributive shock. There was no evidence of a right malpositioned spleen. I didn't feel obvious like gastric distension. So I didn't think that this dog should wait all day. I didn't think that this dog should wait forever, but I thought that this dog could wait until my colleague came in. And after that, you know, again, I can't comment on what happened after that. And then I, with regards to the treatment plan, I physically handed Rebecca this printed out paper treatment plan and saw her walk into the lobby with the treatment plan. So I don't know how it wasn't showed. I mean, again, I know it's a he said, she said, but just adding to that, I physically handed the paper from the printer to Rebecca, who walked out into the lobby with it. So I don't know how it could have been overlooked. I think those are my only comments.
Are there any further questions by board members? Okay, thank you both. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
All right. So,
Dr. Wright.
Thank you. Going through this, there's a lot to kind of weed through and see what's going on, a lot of conflicting testimony and these kinds of things. I think it would have been very simple if, again, we printed up an estimate and handed it to the technician and had him take it out there, sign that they're declining. That would have solved everything right there, just a quick signature. And the fact that we're not doing that, that we're printing something out and having it done verbally, which is, again, allowed, brings a lot of question into it. So even if someone declines something, have them sign it every time. But that's, again, was it made, all that, that's a lot. I think there's a lot of confusion and a lot of issues going on there. My big issue is not necessarily with the way this was handled medically, but with the scheduling issue. I mean, that's kind of where my concern comes in, is we have an emergency hospital that basically is taking a doctor off for up to 45 minutes in the morning before a new doctor comes in to cover them. So we technically really have no doctor on. I mean, I don't necessarily like that. That's kind of putting up the doctor for almost a failure at that point, because this person thinks her dog's very sick, we're stable, can't figure out until the next doctor comes in. And that's not Dr. Ash's fault, but that has some concerns for me for scheduling and for hospital management stuff. I mean, that's kind of where my questions are around this, not necessarily around the medical portion. This is an unfortunate situation. GDV results in death a lot, especially if, I mean, it can progress fast. I mean, I don't want to say anything's missed, because I don't see anything that's missed, but I mean, they can go from just mild stomach upset, all of a sudden it flips and they're dead 30 minutes later. So I don't think Dr. Ash missed anything, but I think we're set up for a very bad situation to happen based on the schedule.
Well, and I feel like, I mean, obviously communication always plays in.
Yeah.
But communication here, I believe, is an issue. So We have this estimate. We don't have it signed. Mm-hmm. We have a very dedicated owner who had the means to pay, who's saying, why would I have declined that? And that's why we got here in the first place, was we have a client who approved an ultrasound and went to an emergency clinic and had all the things, and yet we were being told she had declined this. And I don't know, because we have a printed estimate, but it has nothing on it. I don't know. What I would say is, I kind of feel like maybe the communication, and obviously weren't there, but maybe the communication to the owner was that the dog is stable, we've deemed it stable, when it really wasn't stable. Not that that was the fault of anybody, but it really wasn't stable. And that this wasn't an emergency. And so then maybe the owner's like, okay, what are my options? Can I go to my regular vet if this dog is stable, right? So, I mean, I think it was in the way it was communicated to the owner, which wasn't Dr. Ash, because she wasn't able to get in there. But at the same time, we now have an owner who brought their dog in saying, I think the dog has GDV, who had signs consistent with GDV of through the night. And
And
here we are going, that's what it was. And I get that your initial assessment showed the dog was stable, but the dog was not stable. The dog died and had a necrotic stomach. Like,
Well, and we do have other evidence of it being a money-concerned issue case. Yes, we have insurance. That means nothing to us in practice. I don't care. You're still paying the bill right now, and you're going to get reimbursed on your insurance later. We know that there wasn't enough to cover that surgery.
So we know there's money issues.
I don't want to spend money. So, I mean, could it be I don't want to spend $700, $800, $900 here, even though, yes, I'm covered in insurance? That's fake money to me. I don't care.
Well, and I think
I'm not getting paid. I'm not billing the insurance company. It's different than human medicine. So
You
may have that. You still have to have the means to deal with it now, and that's a reimbursement. And so we know in the documentation there was conversation around that.
Yeah, I do think, I'm not saying money wasn't the concern. What I'm saying is this client clearly came in expecting to pay a bill and was willing to pay and did pay for ultrasound and stuff like that. So it wasn't like right out of the gate there was a decline of I have no money, I can't afford this. Like, it wasn't like the diagnostics could have been done. And if they were stressed in the way of, I think you need to do these diagnostics, mm-hmm. even if we didn't think it was a GDV, I believe the owner would have done them. I believe the technician went in saying, this is not a critical case, your dog can wait, and that was a judgment call that was made, and unfortunately it was wrong. And I can't say that's the doctor's fault. We make judgment calls. We didn't have signs, it doesn't look like, in the medical record that would have made us say, yes, this dog was critical and she missed it. We didn't have that, but the dog was critical.
Well, and it is all based in presentation, like you're saying. I mean, if you come in and say, well, your dog's stable, but we need x-rays to find out, well, if you're stable, why can't I just do cheaper x-rays at my regular vet in a few hours, as opposed to paying $900 here? So I agree with you. I think it's probably the way it's presented. So I can see it from all sides, but I don't see that it wasn't talked about. I just can't imagine, especially if anybody mentions any kind of GDV, any kind of gastric stuff, but again, nothing signed, I can't guarantee it. But I can't believe that we missed even discussing
this. Ms. Sullivan has a question.
Oh, yeah, very quick question, if I may, Madam Chair. Yeah, so Dr. Ash, if it had been deemed an emergency, instead of not stable, when you were talking about the shift coverage, would you still have, would you have taken it in that 45-minute window, even with your extensive caseload at the time?
Yeah, and I think this is echoing a question Dr. Wright asked earlier. Yeah. I mean, it's very uncommon that I leave right on time, right, as an ER doctor. But typically what happens is when an unstable GDD comes in, I don't immediately talk to the owner. My technicians get stabilization approval. And at that time, let's say I'm with another critical patient, then I can at least give orders, take x-rays, set a catheter, here's a drug dose, give a bolus. But in that time, if I'm with multiple critical patients at once, often my technicians are the one, hey, I need you to get the stabilization signed. And then I'm telling my nurses to do orders. But I would have started that, of course.
Thank you. Well,
yeah, and then like like Dave was saying, I would have stayed until it was transferred to an outpatient doctor.
Yes,
yeah.
For sure. Thank you.
Okay. Question, any communication you had with the owner, did you hear her mention, I think my dog has GDD?
So what, it was relayed that there was concern for a GDD.
Okay.
And when Rebecca came back, she physically told me that the owner is concerned about a GDD. She wants radiographs, but she has cost concerns. Okay, so that is just, I didn't hear those words from the owner's mouth. That is what my technician told me verbatim, and that's what is in my statement.
Okay.
And then when I deemed the dog was stable, right. I mean, is a GDD ever stable? But a GDD is also a dynamic process, right? It's a very dynamic process. And whether or not the dog was stable, the objective tools I had at my disposal at the time told me that the dog was not hyposensitive, it wasn't tachycardic, it wasn't hypothermic, it had no signs of shock at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
Yeah. No? Okay. Do you have a motion yet, or are we still tossing around?
I don't know
around
if there? Any discussion, but I just don't see any kind of statute violations by this doctor right now. I see an unfortunate situation. I mean, surgery, even when it was deemed that we need surgery now, it still wasn't doable at vet med. We had to go to our private, our regular med. I mean, again, yes, it's a lot less expensive to do at a regular vet. I know the prices of these emergency hospitals are getting crazy, and that's a whole other conversation. But even when we decided we needed surgery, we still had to go to another hospital. So again, there's delays in this, but I can't really blame anybody. I think it's just more of those unfortunate things. So I'll make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2455. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Pardon.
One nay. So motion passes. The board has voted to dismiss this case. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Ash, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you all for being here. Did you want to take a